Hi, and welcome to the Iron Hack Podcast. I'm DevOps Dan.
I'm Ternary Tim. Back to DevOps Dan. This is
three or four turns now, and I think I'm back to DevOps Dan. So,
okay.
Anyone who doesn't know that running joke, this is just a huge waste of the beginning of their podcast.
Sorry, everybody.
Yeah.
Unlike the rest of the podcast, though, which is a great use of your time, if you are thinking about taking a UX UI course, as we have the lead teacher from the Berlin campus, Max, on the show, walking us through the ins and outs of the course.
Yeah, Max was actually our first ever guest on the podcast when he was still a student in 2020. Was he our first ever guest? Second ever guest, I think.
Something like that, very close to
very,
the start.
Very, very, very beginning. And he came on to talk to us back then about what his experience was like as a UX UI student. And now, 3 years later, he has since been a part-time student. He's been a teacher. He's been out working. And now he's back as the full-time lead UX UI instructor. So today he talks us through everything under that umbrella of knowledge and experience and what you can expect and what it's like and all of that wonderful stuff.
So without further ado, here's Max.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool.
Yeah, hi, nice to meet you. I am currently the lead teacher in UI UX in Berlin on the campus. So I teach in class here in Berlin on the Iron Hack campus. And yeah, that is what I'm currently doing.
How long have you been the UX UI teacher there?
I just got back to Iron Hack in December of last year, so it's been like 8-9 months now.
Back to Iron Hack. Me and Tim and I both know the secret answer.
Back once
here,
again.
For our listeners, tell us about your journey with Iron Hacks over the last years.
Yeah, let's share my secret. Yeah, no, I have been a student myself at Iron Hack, actually. So I've done kind of the full circle moment. 3 years ago, I graduated from Iron Hack myself, and I was a part-time TA, actually, in a part-time course that we also offer at Iron Hack, while I was starting to work myself in 2021. And then, after a few years of experience in the field, I came back myself as a lead teacher because I was kind of starting to enjoy this part of UI UX work that has a lot to do with workshops and facilitation. So kind of jumping into that part of my work more and doing this with Iron Hack that I always enjoyed the community here was just kind of a little bit of an extra cherry on top. So yeah, I really enjoyed coming back.
Yeah, nice. So I didn't actually know that last little bit. I knew you were there. You were there when Tim and I first started the podcast.
Right.
And then I knew you came back to be part-time, but it's cool that you went away, got some real world quotation marks experience, and now you're back on full-time. That's really cool. Full circle.
Exactly, yeah. The full package, hopefully.
Do you think that you need the experience of both? Do you think it's really good that, you know, you did the course and then you went away and then you came back? Because, you know, you could just jump in, couldn't you? You might not have any experience of Iron Hack. Do you think it's good to have that well-rounded background for the students?
I think it's definitely individual. I won't judge for everyone and what each person can bring when they are teachers. I think being a teacher itself is surely its own kind of gift and practice. So I think some people don't necessarily need the experience, but I definitely think it comes to the profit of my students that I can add some real world experience. You know, like I can talk about how I actually use things in the past. I can kind of weight what things I believe are more important than others. What struggles you might get into with your leads and with your C-level executives when they don't understand things about UX UI. So I don't think it's an absolute must-have for teaching, but I think it definitely comes in handy to share some experience. Yeah.
Do you think the field of UX UI is still kind of shrouded in mystery for people who aren't in it still a little bit? You know, people still think it's, I think we said this on the first episode 3 years ago, but people still think it's just the color of buttons or the style guide for the website, but there's so much more to the course. Have you found that there's still a lot of what's the word I'm looking for here? Like misknowledge, I hear, lack of knowledge.
Demystification.
Demystification needed in the real
100%.
World.
100%. I think design or like UX advocacy is definitely a big part of our job, like trying to advocate for UX as a field, but also for users in that sense. I think many people, even students that come to us, but also, yeah, future employers often have this misconception that it's basically graphic design for pixels, for on-screen applications. And they miss this whole other chunk that is actually much bigger and much more valuable for them, that is about designing an experience, like designing the service behind it, designing the workflows, the user flows, how users actually interact with the product much more holistically. And I would even go as far as saying that I think UI, the graphic part of it, is more of a subset than actually an equal part of UX UI. I think without a good UX, you can't do a good design, a good UI. So 100%, I think we still have to advocate for UX UI as a whole field, and even more so for the value added of like what value can UX actually add beyond the beautiful designs.
Yeah. Well said. So let's circle back then to your journey. Let's talk about how you first got involved in UI and maybe inspire some aspiring students out there. What led you to take the bootcamp all those years ago?
Right. Yeah, I think that my story is actually similar to many students. I had a completely different background. I did study Middle Eastern studies with an emphasis on Islam, actually. And at some point, I realized that's not really what I want to do. It was a bit too head-heavy for me, a bit too theoretical. I wanted to do something a bit more hands-on, create things. And while I was still studying, I started actually self-learning with online courses because I wasn't really willing to sign up for art school and do this whole spiel again with university. And even started freelancing like with friends and family, like small gigs on the side. But since that didn't really take off that well, I actually used the bootcamp at IronHack to professionalize it. And nice. That really worked well. Really helped me land jobs and get better gigs right after. Ever since I've been kind of leveraging my background in like cultural studies and politics, first to work with a communication agency that works with political institutions. So I did web design for them. And did some other stations in between, worked for another startup that does data education, ended up at IronHack again. Basically the route was I wanted to do something crafty, hands-on, and go away from this head-heavy field.
It's cool that you managed it to get married it together, though. Like, I think those two worlds, like, I think people forget that even though you might have experience that seems very, very far away from working in tech as a developer or as a designer, actually they go really hand in hand. It's like cool that you can marry them together. I think a lot of students can, though. I think when they think around it, they can really stitch it up together.
I think the beauty of UX UI or in general in tech is that there's so many fields that are intersecting with what we do before. There's so many skills we can bring from past experiences. I think like for my job, for example, not only teaching, I mean like in design before, I think cultural sensitivities, awareness of some discourse when it comes to international design or designing for interfaces that are more culturally sensitive has become super handy, for example, and something that you wouldn't assume, right? It's something that you wouldn't exactly think of when you think of UX UI. So yeah, I think people underestimate how much you can already bring when you have a completely different background to UX UI.
Yeah, for sure.
How did you find the course when you first took it? I mean, that would have been not your first experience to UI, but how did you find the bootcamp and how do you think it's changed now for the students?
How did I find it? As in, like, how did I?
How was your your initial, experience? When you first jumped into a boot camp and you were suddenly doing it in a formal setting, and then do you think that experience has changed a lot in the last 3 years for the students? Or do you still think it's fundamentally the same?
I think in many ways it's very similar. Of course, it's a boot camp setting. I think the community around IronHack hasn't changed in a sense that it's still very welcoming, super international, specifically here in Berlin. You get to know people all around the world. I think that's really cool. I think the general approach of IronHack sidekicking this hero journey of our students, I think this was the case when I was a student and is still the case now. Of course, things get updated, right? We have a different curriculum, we updated projects, content. It's keeping up with the time and with the pace of our industry. But the general vibe, the general community has stayed the same, which I'm very happy about.
Nice.
That's cool.
Still iron beers happening often.
Of course, of course.
But I mean, it's crazy to think about that 3-year period, because as Stan said earlier, that's when we met. It's like there's a huge shift, isn't there, from like off online being, I mean, for me, it was like a goal, you know, it was like work remote was my goal, is to become a developer, you know, and now it's just like, take that as read. Yeah, it's been such a seismic shift in 3 years, you know?
Yeah. Do you think that's coming back around now? Do you think people are wanting to go back to offices?
Oh, I hope not. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I hope not. I hope not.
Oh, no.
I mean, my job. My job is on campus, and I actually do enjoy that part of the work, but it's more about having to perform every day. I think I would do the same that I would do online. I think it's amazing to have a job that, you know, people are expecting me to be there at 9 a.m. It helps to not procrastinate in front of a screen.
Sure.
But I think, yeah, there has been not only this change with seismic. I mean, there's so many things that have moved our industry in the last years. I mean, we just talked about it before, the shift that came with AI and with this explosion in the last year, basically, that introduced things and workflows to our industry that, or even design opportunities that we wouldn't even have considered before. And still, I think we're still learning how to.
How has it been for you?
Really interesting because. Yeah, really interesting because I left, I entered IronHack as a teacher, right, in December last year. And like ChatGPT wasn't a thing. So it just started right after I started. So I had to kind of teach myself new workflows and new practical work skills while I was teaching and figure out how we're going to actually grow with the times while I was teaching, which was great fun. But of course, yeah, there was a certain challenge there to be able to offer our students something insightful that definitely will change their work.
I would just have every student question, just write anything, any questions you have, write them to me, submit them in writing, and then I'll just check.
Oh, nice. I might redirect them next time, yeah.
How do I answer this student correctly?
As well as ChatGPT, though, like, I mean, for my limited knowledge of like how you conduct the lessons or the course, it's like obviously Figma and the design tools are like very prominent. Are there like AI tools built into those now that like...
I don't think you know any of the design tools, and I think it's Figma and...
Figma! The design tools are,
you
know.
All
yeah,
the other ones.
Like, there's a paper tool you can use, paper and pens, very handy.
MS Paint is good.
Shout out to MS Paint. Illustrator.
Yeah, we use that most of the
time. Yeah, facts. Yeah. I actually honestly don't, except for like, you know, Adobe Suite. I don't know any other ones.
Yeah, I mean, those are super important and popular, right? I think Adobe is a good keyword here because they introduced some things. Everyone was gushing over the Photoshop AI feature that they've added. And I think Figma has some plugins from external third-party services that have added some AI. And I think they have also planned to introduce or to integrate their own AI system, which, as far as I know, is still in beta phase. But it's definitely becoming part of our regular workflows already. I think some of them, you know, we've seen it with ChatGPT. We've seen it with ChatGPT that the things are kind of still a little clunky here and there, but it's developing, it's growing with the times and also improving while we use them. It's exciting. I think it's super exciting to figure out these new tools while I'm teaching them. Mm-hmm. And it's cool to see a new generation of designers kind of play around with these new opportunities. I think the major impact this has on our industry as designers specifically is that we get to kind of outsource or speed up a lot of this technical work, the things that are kind of easy and don't require deep thoughts or a lot of reflection, whereas we can potentially, hopefully, this is where I hope the industry is going, spend more time on the conceptual parts, on research, on figuring out really innovative, cool solutions instead of having to, you know, design the 15,000th primary and secondary button that anyway all look the same in the end, right?
Yeah, it's really, really good. A good thing, if you haven't used it for yet, is when you do user research, and you just take the whole transcript of an interview, and then you can summarize from the interview like what to take from it, and then you can also cross-reference that with like name. Okay, so what features did this user want in his use case scenario? And then it'll give you a list. He asked for this and this, and then you can say what platforms already have these features, or you know, how does it reference the platform I have? And you can really speed up this process that it would have just taken nothing but time before, you know, to
100%. There's this process called a tool called affinity diagram in UX UI, which is basically about summarizing your research findings. And this is a great example of how to use this in this instance, right? We simply take all of our protocols and transcripts from our interviews, and we have ChatGPT run through them and give us some insights from those interviews. And yeah, this is definitely a great use for it. Some people even use them to brainstorm, to develop some copy for, like stand-in copy for hi-fis. I think that's great. We can do so many of these things with ChatGPT. What we're trying to do at IronHack right now is to teach these tools while still promoting, you know, being reflective about it, be critical about it, being able to judge the outcome. Like, it's great these tools exist, but we need to be able to judge if they're good or bad, if they have actually done a good job at what they're trying to replace us with, right?
Yeah.
So that's what we focus on, critical thinking while still being aware of those tools.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is that like an issue? Because I think in web development, there's definitely some like what it perceived as low-hanging fruit that the ChatGPT can do or the bot can help you with. But actually, like going through the process yourself is a very good mental exercise of learning logic and how you kind of proceed with coding challenges and just coding in general. Are there any kind of like integrations that you're seeing at the moment that you'd sort of steer clear, or you'd ask the students to steer clear of, or you'd say like take it with a pinch of salt, or maybe you know, become a bit more of an expert in the field before you then start using this?
In some way, like specifically when it comes to, for example, user personas, anything where we'd run into the danger of the AI generating things that we haven't actually validated in our research.
Hmm.
But I don't even try to tell them to steer clear from it. I really try to focus on just review it, make sure you can back this up, right?
Yeah.
Make sure that whatever the AI gives you is something that you understand, that fully is backed up by your research, and then there's a clear line that kind of works. I mean, maybe one example is things that are fully UI. For example, Midjourney can spit out complete UI visualizations for you. This is 100% something I tell them not to do ever, because it's completely not backed up by research. Right? This is just a pretty screen that's has been pieced together without any rationale. So when it comes to UI, for sure. When it comes to UX, I feel like it's almost useless to tell them to not use it, but rather focus on the critical thinking part of it.
Yeah,
there was this sentiment at the beginning that people were just going to turn their brains off and use it for everything, and that obviously was not ever going to be the case.
Yeah, there's case studies or academic papers that start with as a AI model or as a
But I think that it, you know, based on what you just said, then it's very hard to just like, hey, ChatGPT, give me this entire thing, and then just copy and paste it. You have to. There's no way you can't review what it's done, and you have to give it such specific prompts that it isn't a tool that's easily abused. I think in that way,
100%, I agree.
Unless you're doing coursework or an essay for school. Then you accidentally add that to the header.
We veered off heavily. Right, let's get back to the actual, arguably the target for this episode are people who are thinking about joining the UX UI course, and this is the top thing they saw, so they jumped on. Let's speak to those people directly. What is the UX UI course at IronHack? Just give us a little introduction to it.
I think the UX UI course bootcamp at IronHack is a 9-week quick, we're throwing you into the water to get to know UX UI and to really lay a solid foundation for your processes, your tools, and for how you're going to approach learning more afterwards. It's somewhere in between. Don't expect that you will know everything, but also don't expect that it will be super trivial and minimal. Actually, people that leave our bootcamp can really apply for jobs. They will have hands-on experience in all kinds of things, a portfolio to work with. So I think it's a great starting point to start a career in UX UI. I actually started even with working while also starting a journey into learning more. Not only because 9 weeks are obviously just 9 weeks, but also because this industry, as we just talked about, is so quickly changing, ever changing and developing, that like self-learning and developing throughout your career as a UX UI designer is just important. It will keep you relevant.
How do you break down those weeks? What are the modules?
I mean, primarily we do UX first. We start with design thinking, and we try to first give you your toolbox. So we lay a solid foundation for the toolbox that you're going to approach any problem with. This is what we first teach you, how we can solve any problem in a week, basically. Okay. And then we with every project, kind of, we always have a practical task to solve. And while you do this task, we teach you new tools for your toolbox, and they're both on the UX side and the UI side. It kind of mixes through the weeks. And yeah, at the end of it, you're supposed to have a very versatile toolbox. You're supposed to be able to choose which tool to use at what point in your process. And before you kind of finish, we also teach you some basic HTML, CSS, so you can communicate with developers a lot better. It's not for you to actually code yourself too much. It's more so you can communicate with the people that you're going to work with, your best friends, the developers, right? and we help you as well before you approach a final project, where you kind of throw all of your toolbox together to get your portfolio running.
During the process as well, do the students work with the developers who are doing the web dev course as well?
During the projects, yes. Here in Berlin, we actually do this. We work together with both the devs and the data people. At one point in the cohort, we started this a few cohorts ago, and we have a cross-cohort collaboration where our UX developers get to work with insights from the data cohort, work on a problem or a data field the data analysts have come up with, and then hand off the project to web developers for their final projects. The web developers get to choose then, and it's a really cool experience because, yeah, they actually can say afterwards on both ends, right? They can say they've already had a handoff experience, they've worked together with a brief from the outside, from data analysts, and hand it off to web developers, which is a very crucial skill. Nice. And it's not expected even for junior designers. I think this is a little cherry on top that we get to offer us.
That's a really cool little like real life scenario that they can test in. We should do a product boot camp where one extra student gets to oversee all of it, and no one answers to them or listens to anything they say.
That's an idea, yeah, actually. Wow.
Thank you, but no.
Okay, so then let's get into like the big questions. What advice for people who are coming from a completely different industry like you did would you give?
Actually, primarily believe that you have something to add. I think people way too often come here and think they're newbies, they will not know anything, and then they kind of fall back shy and won't add anything themselves. So believe in your skill set. I think really everyone comes here and having something to add. And then I guess being open to really put in the work. Of course, a bootcamp setting is not meant to rest all that much for 9 weeks. It's really meant to push you far. This is what people come here for, right? Have this intense, fast, but really, really productive and cool experience. Being open to learn a lot and push yourself and believing in yourself at the same time is the main advice I would have.
I'd love to ask another question, if you'd let me ask. If it's all right, I'd love to ask a question.
And you sank out, yeah. Go on.
Just on the.
So
on
anyway,
the topic
I had this question. I was gonna ask
So you're saying about like using prior experience, but is there anything you'd encourage the students to do? Like pre-work or extra learning before they start, or even straight after they've finished the boot camp.
For sure, I think like it's really. It just like a focal point around a bigger learning experience. This is not where the learning should start, and it's not where it should end. I think we do have pre-work that we ask our students to do, so that should already be a great entry point to it. And around that pre-work, there's a lot you can already learn before. And sometimes throughout the bootcamp, you have some half-hour sections where you might not have anything to do right now because your project team is taking a break, or for some reason you might have like this little block. And we always encourage our students to use lots of the resources we provide to them to, you know, watch videos on the Figma skill to learn, or dive deeper into other skill sets, read some articles. I always encourage my students to read like one Medium article in the morning on the train when they get here. This is a great habit to kind of jump into once you start this. And afterwards, even more so, I think this time in between graduating and getting a job is a great moment to try some new things, right? To try some projects that you always wanted to do, but you didn't have the skill set for or the time for. And of course, you're supposed to also apply to a lot of jobs, and most people do. But also, most of the time, you'll have some extra minutes to spare or some hours to spare to take on some extra projects. And I think this is always advisable. The more experience, the more practice you can have in between, the better.
Yep, awesome. Thank you so much for your time, then, Max. I think that's been some really good advice for people out there. I hope that I hope there's someone that's listening and is thinking about getting into the industry, because I think a lot of people now who are thinking about taking a boot camp will be thinking about what we were speaking about today, given, with all this AI tools and how it's changing so fast, and is now a good time to take a boot camp, or am I coming from such a different field that I won't be able to catch up? And I think that the truth really is that all of these new tools are just kind of making it better than ever to learn. I think they're just things that are empowering students to learn, as opposed to, like, certainly not replacing the concept like people thought. Before we do leave, is there anything else you want to say, anything coming up, any Iron Hack events or anything you're doing personally you want to put on the podcast?
No, actually, at the moment, there's nothing I can really advertise from my side, but of course, there's always really cool stuff happening here at Iron Hack. We actually have an event coming up for women, expat women that just came to Berlin, for example, kind of how to navigate this scene as a woman in the tech industry. I would really recommend that. I think it's always, this is also, by the way, a great tip for juniors, always network, try to find people you can learn something from, and try to not shy away from networking events, even if they might seem a little intimidating because you worry that you're going to have some conversation about something you don't know anything about. But people are very welcoming in this industry, in this community. So jump into the events, find a mentor, and definitely walk by Iron Hack, come to our events. I can always recommend that.
Very cool. Max there. What a ledge.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to have him back on. And it's real full circle, his experience now.
I think it was good that he spoke about AI as well, because he's talking about it in a very relaxed manner. I think anyone who might be thinking, oh, should I do a boot camp? Is AI going to eat all our jobs? I think there's a lot of confidence there that it's certainly more of a partner.
It really is. It's like saying a calculator was going to replace all mathematicians, you know? It can't do anything by itself.
Yeah, yeah. Right? I'm just laughing at the sort of, like, imagine being at school and a giant calculator being at the front and being like, oh my God, I can't wait to be like this guy.
Yeah.
Because when you say it like that, it's like ludicrous, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it really, it is like, it always, I think it always was. People were saying, now you'll just automate everything. And it's like, yeah. That was the point. That's been the dream since the beginning, you know? Yeah. I think that he shed a lot of light on that topic and how it's really empowering his students to be better. So if you are thinking of doing it, jump in. Get it going. Yeah. Experience, user experience.
Goodbye for this week.